Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Another minister that spoke about his proposed budget was John Steenhuisen, Minister of Agriculture, who also was quite enthusiastic, I might say. And I think he did quite well, actually, today, even around some sort of hostility. But I just want to talk about what the sector actually feels about what he had to propose. Christoph van der Heever is AgriSA Executive Director. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. Just a correction. I used to be the CEO at AgriSA. I'm now retired.
Okay. We'll adjust that. You miss your office, Christo?
Yeah, no, indeed. I had 8 wonderful years in that position.
Yes.
And it's a fascinating sector.
All right. And just from where you're sitting right now and what we've been hearing from the minister, your take on whether this is something that is going to be taking the sector forward or not?
Indeed. As long as you have open door policy, because the sector is to a very large extent self-reliant. So your commercial farmers do their own thing. Remember, they need to be competitive, compete with the rest of the world, and their big task is to ensure food security for the country. So, yes, open door policy is important, and obviously our previous minister, Toko Didiza, was really valuable in that space, in the sense that she always had an open door, she listened to the farmers' concerns, because it's a high-risk business. But if you don't have that business, you can imagine the trouble that your country will find itself in.
He made a lot of emphasis, he put a lot of emphasis on access to finance, different levels of the sector, those who are still subsistence farmers, those who are already in the business trying to get access to better funds, for instance, the Agro Energy Fund and so on, and other funds that people don't seem to be using, so to speak. The support grants that people don't quite seem to be getting the hang of getting to. Your sense of all these funds on paper that seem to be available, but when you hear farmers speak, they don't seem to feel as supported as they would want to be supported.
Everything starts and falls with the land bank. In all countries where they really take agriculture serious, they establish a land bank, because the land bank is a bank that is specifically designed for agriculture. Remember, agriculture is not like terribly wrong to say it's not like a normal business, but there are factors that you don't have control over. For example, environmental factors.
Yeah.
There's a fire, there's a flood. And our biggest challenge, obviously, we place too much emphasis on the land issue. And the land issue for me is a secondary issue, because we can hand out farmland left, right and center, but if you don't have money to
farm.
Because remember, now farming is not a once-off business, now you sit back and relax. You need money every year for diesel, you need money every year for seed, you need money every year for labor, you need money for infrastructure development, for your insurance and so forth. And our big challenge in Africa is the land bank, in the past, had serious problems, management problems, governance problems. Hopefully that has been sorted out now. But then also, you have a lot of funds all over the place. There's the NEF, National Empowerment Fund, there's the DPIC, there's
IDC.
Department of Agriculture, IDC, the Development Bank. Then you've got a lot of private sector funding, various trusts that sits with the mining companies and with the big agro companies. My point of view is bring that money all together. We have worked on a plan, what we call the Agro Processing Master Plan. That plan really, if we implement it, now that's our bigger challenge. We are very good at designing plans, but when it comes to implementation, we fall flat. So if that plan can be fully funded, you bring those funds together, you consolidate it, and then you make patient funding available. Obviously, you have different categories of farmers with different financial needs, and you structure it in a way that you can, at the end of the day, assist farmers in various ways. But the most important thing is you cannot have people on farmland that's going to waste your time. You need dedicated people, you need committed people, you need professional people, and you need people there that are absolutely committed to work on that land 24 hours a day, because your sheep and your cattle don't go on holiday.
Mm.
A dairy farmer can't go on holiday. He must be there. Your fruit and the trees and your vegetables, they don't go on holiday. And that's what people must realize. You want to get into farming, it's serious business. It's an intergenerational business. You cannot just be a weekend farmer, because that will compromise food security in the country.
He's mentioned crime being quite a major thing. And this crime thing, I think it's important for us to highlight. It's become quite complex. There used to be a narrative about the kinds of people who are targeted in farms. But you are now hearing across the board, even those very small holding farm owners who are complaining about stock theft, for instance, and so on. And that there needs to be a real sense of collaboration with the SAPS.
Indeed. Remember, we want to establish a new cadre of farmers. Mm. What is happening in reality is that people are moving from rural areas to cities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a special breed of people that want to live in rural areas.
Mm.
And the farmer is even more special. They live in almost desolate areas. It takes half an hour, or up to an hour, sometimes 2 hours, to get to the nearest town, to get to the nearest neighbor. And you cannot have a situation where farmers work day and night, their cattle get sorted, their sheep get stolen, they get murdered, they get mutilated. And this thing is not limited to white farmers. It's a thing that affects all farmers. Quite often we just don't hear about it, because farmers are so intimidated that they rather say, ach, leave it.
Mm.
They rather let the cattle be stolen as opposed to going out in the dark of the night to confront the robbers.
Mm.
Nobody is that silly. So you need a multi-pronged approach. Farmers together with the rural safety networks that exist, together with workers, together with rural communities, there must be some kind of synergy, because it affects everyone in rural areas.
Yeah.
And that's why it's so important that you need to have the police to follow up things, because that was one of the big challenges.
Mm.
Farmers don't report crime,
mm.
and it's never followed up. Police don't do the patrols, etc. And farmers currently spend a lot of money out of their own pocket.
Private security, yeah.
Private security, putting up alarm systems and things like that. I serve on one of the committees or networks called AgriSecuritas. We have to go and beg private companies for money so that we can help farmers to implement camera systems and so forth. But it's also unhealthy. If you want to establish, you want to transform the sector, you want a young person to go and live on the farm with his wife, a person like that, will think twice if they fear that their lives will be compromised in any way.
Yeah. There's been a lot of discussion around new entrants and the kind of support that you alluded to earlier on, to say, yes, people speak about the land, but there are other things as well. There are issues of those who even get started but don't even know how to get accreditation to get their produce onto the market. And then obviously the bigger question being the market itself appreciating and taking on their product. Just how much emphasis has to be made on that? And do you think enough effort has been made to get those new entrants? You know, as you said earlier, you need a new generation of farmers. And are we doing enough to support them?
Remember, we've got commodity organizations.
Yeah.
Take, for example, the wool growers.
Yeah.
They have onboarded almost 4,000 black farmers in the Eastern Cape over time by doing the right thing, bringing in the right rams with the right DNA to improve the quality of the wool. Those 4,000 black farmers are now, together with your big commercial white farmers, they're exporting the wool to the rest of the world. Their income has quadrupled over time. Living circumstances, because part and parcel of the strategy of the wool farmers was to put up sheds, sharing sheds, to train workers to do the sharing. They also put up facilities to the grading, to do the grading of the wool. So there are beautiful stories, the wool growers, the grain essays of the world. I mean, I sit with those reports and I see 10,000 black farmers with the right seed are now producing quality grains and maize. And that is also sold to the local markets and the international markets. Your fruit growers, you just have to come to the Western Cape to see the amount of colored farmers, for example, who are exporting to the rest of the world. Now, this is very important. You cannot compromise the quality of your exports because we've seen what happened not to colored or black farmers' citrus, or it was citrus from South Africa that landed overseas, and most of that citrus came from white commercial farmers, but because those citrus were affected by black spot, it was now rejected. Right, so and then there's a whole rigmarole on that side, the EU coming up with all kinds of regulations to prevent South Africa's fruit to be landed overseas. So the big challenge is it costs money to deliver a quality product to the market. Yes, you can certainly sell your products at the local market, at the national market, but your consumers, South African consumers, are very particular.
Yeah. You know, no, if it looks a little bit weird, we're not going to have it. Yeah.
I tell you, you just have to talk to South African consumers because they're used to the best.
Yeah.
We've got the plan. We've got the agro processing master plan that the minister has committed himself to implement that plan. And I think through that plan, we will address all the shortcomings that exist. But yes, the market, in my opinion, is to a very large extent highly monopolized in certain instances, and we need to deal with those issues to make it fair and make it, you know, accessible to all farmers. But you need to put money behind it.
Before we conclude our conversation, if you don't mind, I need to take a quick break, Mr. Van der Heever, and then maybe I'll even open the lines, 086-000-00959. Let me just take a quick break. I'll be back with you for more. We continue our conversation with Christoph van der Heever, who is the former CEO of AgriSA, and we're discussing the various ministries that have put together their budget proposals. It's been happening over the past couple of days, and we're discussing now the proposal put together today by John Steenhuisen, who's now the new Minister of Agriculture. Thank you so much again for staying with us, Mr. van der Heever. I just want to talk about the fact that you now have a scenario where the Department of Agriculture has to consider its collaboration with the Department of other departments, you know, that are going to be quite integral in how they manage this work in the sector. We've seen the disasters. I mean, we've been talking about KZN and the fires. The Western Cape has seen rains that are going to obviously affect produce. Just your sense of what has to happen to make sure that all these little, I suppose, elements do come together to make sure that this particular department does thrive.
I remember in agriculture, we talk about value chains. In other words, you must make sure the Department of Transport, for example, must make sure the harbors.
The roads, yeah.
Transit must make sure that the harbors.
The harbors are working, yeah.
Working. The Department of Roads or Transport must make sure the roads are
conducive to transport, yeah.
Absolutely. Then your ESCOMs of the world must make sure there is a regular supply of electricity. Electricity is the blood, the lifeblood of agriculture. But so all of these departments must work together. We have, for example, submitted a plan to say, how do we create smart villages for farm workers? Because remember now, farm workers live on farms generation after generation. But you cannot, farm eventually becomes too small for all the intergenerational families that live on a farm. So then you have to have this, you develop a situation where people start moving off the farms. What happens to them? And then we said, let's create smart villages. Let's bring the Department of Housing, COPTA, everyone together.
Mm-hmm.
Up to today, you know, I've struggled to really get a meeting going because the problem with government departments, mm-hmm. they all work in silos.
Silos, yep.
So we need cross-collaboration. And one thing, you know, that can turn an economy quickly around is with what we call special economic zones. If mm-hmm. you look what happens in East London, Kucha, what happens mm-hmm. in Saldanha Bay, what happens in Atlantis. I've just drove through Atlantis. I was just amazed to see the amount of factories that are going up there. Mm-hmm. So that creates employment. So what you need in agriculture is, you need to create agricultural zones.
Mm.
Zanin, for example, can become the zone for the best avocados
yeah.
to be exported to the rest of the world. The Sierras Valley can become the zone for the best fruit, and it's already there.
Yes.
It is just how you package it and how you promote it and how you consolidate the support that is required for those farmers.
Mm.
In the Eastern Cape, wool. In KZN sugar, in the Northern Cape, sultanas and table grapes along the Orange River.
Mm.
And then, obviously, you must brand it properly. We do too little in terms of branding.
Mm.
Karoo lamb. I mean, you can just think of Karoo lamb and already your mouth starts to water.
Mm.
You must, rooibos tea. These are all unique products that belong to South Africa. They are world-class wines. You need to brand it. And that's why intellectual property becomes so important that you protect your place names. Here in the Northern Cape, where I'm currently visiting, I'm just astounded by the place names. And those original names, you must attach to a product and market it as such. Sometimes the plans of government is very airy-fairy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we must fight poverty.
Mm.
But tell me, how do you fight poverty, right? Through action plans. And many of those plans already contain in the National Development Plan, Chapter 6. You can go through there and see. But we can really, you know, come up with solid plans, get the private sector involved. Government's job is to really create conducive circumstances and in the process ensure job creation, ensure black economic empowerment. All of those things, you know, will eventually, those are outcomes of good, you know, economic / investment framework that you then, or action plan that you roll out. We must start thinking of grand plans in South Africa.
I mean, you pointed to quite a number of very important things, and I suppose we South Africans doesn't boast enough about what they have going. I believe we've got three new markets for Evos now. This has just happened, but we don't sing our praises enough. We don't, as you said, we don't market, we don't shout loud enough, we don't brand very nicely. We still have a lot of spaces where we can dominate. And the African market, we haven't done not even a fraction of what we can do in exporting our produce there.
Absolutely. I mean, I was the other day in Harzwater, the Northern Cape. There we produce pika nuts. Now, pika nut is a nut that comes from, I think, from Brazil.
Mm.
Suddenly, this tree started to grow in the Harzwater area, and it has changed the fortunes of farmers there. Mm. But what are the big problem there? A municipality that is so contaminated with self-interest, with corruption, with all kinds of, you know, politics, and I call it, you know, sort of backyard politics, that impact on the growth of the town and the growth of the sector.
Mm.
Pika nuts are now exported to China.
Mm.
The Chinese cannot even compete with South African pika nuts. It's the best in the world.
Mm.
The best citrus, you name it, is the best this and the best that. Now, all that those farmers need is, you know, make sure, one, there's proper water supply. Now, you get your water from the Waar River and the Orange River. Make sure that that water is not contaminated, because you can imagine if there's some kind of waterborne disease that lands up in the fruit and the vegetables that you export, you can destroy your entire sector.
Yes.
So municipalities have a critical role to play. And really, they must also, if the concept of the GNU works at the national level, that concept must be transplanted to provincial level and to the local level. So you get expertise in towns, regardless of whether they're white, pink or yellow, get the expertise in there and take the town forward, take the local economy forward. Then so that you can develop and then make sure that we use our water effectively. We do not have a water shortage problem. We have a water management problem.
Yeah.
Right? And you can unlock such a lot of land. You just have to drive through Colesberg and those areas where the Orange River flows and other areas, and you start channel that water. You build new canals, new water systems, so you can deliver water and unlock more land. We don't have a land problem in South Africa. We have a water problem and a lack of vision because we are busy with backyard politics. And that has actually resulted in the decline, and pervasive corruption for the past 30 years. And we need to correct that. Otherwise, we're going to be in serious trouble going forward.
Yeah, you've given us a lot to think about. Really appreciate it. Christopher Ndehefa, who is the former AgriSA CEO, as we continue to unpack some of the budget proposals. And we were speaking about the Department of Agriculture today. The Minister of Agriculture, John Steenhuisen, put forward his budget proposal. And I'd love to hear from you, 086-00-00959.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.